You have your Bible, go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to be. Let me get there. Also ask you this week for a couple people that will need your prayers. I would like for you to be praying for Cody and Anna Watson. We got word that they are going to induce Anna on Tuesday. Well, once we know more, we can let you know, but I know that Cody and Anna would appreciate your prayers. And then after that, she will begin more of her treatments for radiation and for her tongue. So I know that Cody and Anna would appreciate your prayers. Also, please pray for Les Pierman. Les fell and he broke his hip. He's had surgery. I know that he'd appreciate your prayers in the recovery. He's still at Highlands Regional, and I know she would appreciate your prayers as well. Ed and Jean Crouch. Ed and Jean has just moved Joe Anir to a nursing home. And so I know as they transition from the rehab center to a nursing home, I know that Ed and Jean would appreciate your prayers for Joe. Also, just be praying for Avon Parks Lakes Baptist Church. A friend of mine, George Hall, they're doing vacation Bible school this week. And he asked for us to be praying for kids to come to know Christ as their Savior. So we all, the group of us guys, are texting back and forth on Sunday mornings, Matt and at First Baptist and Steve Trinkle at Whispering Pines and Dustin at Grace Bible. And then George and I are texting back and forth, and he asked us to specifically pray for that this morning. So I wanted to pass that on to you this morning to be praying for the VBS at Whispering Pines, not Whispering Pines, Avon Park Lakes Baptist Church. It's always fun to go back and forth with those guys on Sunday mornings. And so appreciate their friendship and excited what God's doing in those churches. Also, when you plan and you start teaching out of a book, there's certain passages of scripture that you get to that you really don't want to talk about. I think I'm going to take note of and just do sermons that I like. It'll be easier than going through a book. And so I want to share something with you this morning as we get to 1 Timothy. I'm just finding as the older I get, the more confrontational scripture becomes to me as a person. And I know this morning as we're going to open up the Word of God, I think all of us are probably aware of where scripture is a very confrontational book. It's not written for us to just say, okay, here's my life and I'm going to do what I want to do. The Word of God is saying, hey, this is something for us to follow. You know, we've gathered this morning, revive us again. We sing those, but do we have that heart back towards our Savior? Are we excited this morning to say, okay, Savior, what do you want from me today? How can I honor you today, Jesus? You know, as I think about Scripture, as I think about the Word of God, I think about different things. There's some of you this morning that as you face Scripture, you live in fear. And so you've, over the years, you've wrestled with that fear. And I know you know verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight, but your fear doesn't go away, does it? It's still there. And I think it's still there so that you'll come back to him and say, hey, I still have a need. I'm still afraid. There's some people that like to talk a lot. And they like to hear their voice. And I just remind you of James chapter 1, verse 19. Be quick to hear. Slow to speak. Other of us are here and you've got a history in your family dealing with alcohol. And it's a struggle for you and for your family. It's just like it's been passed down from generation to generation. And we know the Word of God says we're not supposed to get drunk. We know that's true. But there's still that struggle in our soul. Some of us that are here this morning that we know we can't serve two masters. But we're tempted, aren't we? There's a struggle in our hearts saying, oh, I'll just follow this. Oh, I'll just do this. Oh, I'll just do that. No. So this morning, as we've gathered together as a family, one of my goals for us is to not always get what we want. I really want us to wrestle with Scripture and how do I apply it to my life and am I going to surrender to it? And even though it hurts and it's doesn't meet what I want, you know. It's not convenient. It's not fair at times. But Jesus died on the cross so that we would have the Word of God, that we'd have a Savior. He's going to ask you this morning, in different areas, to surrender to it. Knowing that you've come in here and you've already got your mind made up in certain things. There's certain issues that every single one of us have. There's certain issues that every single one of us struggle with, and we can't fix it. I think that's one of the reasons that Paul was allowed to have the thorn in the flesh. So he'd have to come back to God over and over and over again, say, hey, I need help. But he could cast out demons. I need help. So this morning, we get a chance to look at Scripture. And it's, to me, this week has been just convicting. As I've worked through Scripture, I'm just like, okay, Lord, I just need a break. Can you just ease off a little bit, Holy Spirit? This is just a little too much for me. And so this morning, as we gather, we're going to get a chance to look at what Paul has defined for a church. He's going to say, this is what I want the church to look like. This is how I want the church to act. This is what I want to be established in a church. And there's times in our minds that we're saying, you know what? That's just not 21st century. That's just not fair. Well, this morning when you leave, if you're angry, you can argue with Paul. If you're happy, you can thank Jesus. If you're convicted, you can thank the Holy Spirit that he's actually working in your life. If you're encouraged, keep on keeping on. Because what we're looking at this morning is, if you have your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We talked 2 weeks ago about what pleases God, and we talked about prayer and requests and petitions from a thankful heart, that we're having conversation with our God. We're working at living peaceful, quiet lives that please our Savior. We're asking the Lord that the leaders in our society would choose Jesus as their mediator. And now you get to a passage of Scripture, and this is something that's interesting. This is the first time that I find Paul addresses men before he addresses women. You think about Ephesians, it's always the wife first. You think Colossians, it's the wife first. Here in a church setting, Paul's going to address men first. And I'm sorry, men, that I get the chance to speak this Father's Day, but I think this month is really going to be about us men and really challenging our personal relationship with Jesus. As I've been thinking about Father's Day, I just keep thinking more and more stuff that I want to share on Father's Day. And there's too many things, and I really wanted to hold this message back and next message back. And then I was like, okay, Lord, you've laid this out, so I'm just going to let it go. Here it goes. So men, this is what he wants from us in the church. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. See, to stop there. So gentlemen, we've gathered together as a family. And God is asking us men in a family that our lives be holy. As I've been thinking about the word holy, there's a couple different things that run past my mind. Moral purity, that my hands are set apart to God. Holiness possibly can be defined as unstained by evil, unpolluted. Knowing in Psalm chapter 66, verse 18, if there's wickedness in my heart, God does not hear my prayers. My life is choosing to say, God, this is what you want from me, but I'm not interested. When I go to pray to God, I don't think he's listening. He knows what's going on. He knows our lifestyle. And as I think about holy hands, and I don't think Paul's really excited about us, you know, raising our hands in church and say, okay, here it is. Here I am. Because there's a lot of people. There'll be a lot of men that'll stand in church and say, here I am. But there's not holiness in here. There's not a willingness in our lives to say, you know what? Yes, I've been polluted by this, and I want to set this aside. If you have your Bible, go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. As you get to this passage of scripture, you all are going to know exactly what I'm going to talk or see or hear, and you've heard this a lot of different ways, a lot of different times. But I want to remind you something as you get to Exodus chapter 3. The Lord's going to reach out to Moses, and he's going to call Moses to be the leader of the nation of Israel. To remind you this morning that that leader was a murderer. Remind you this morning that that leader didn't have it all together. And so as you're reading this passage of scripture in Exodus chapter 3, I'm very well aware that all of us come today and we don't have it together. Men, I realize this morning that all of us struggle with holiness. That there's just something in that, just there's this that innate desire, thank you to Adam and Eve, that we just want to do what we want to do. And it's interesting that, you know, we really play games with this because we think we can hide it. But you can't. It's going to come out. And so I looked at this passage of scripture in Exodus chapter 3, and I just want to read it with you. And it says in verse 1, it says this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone to look, God called to him within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And because of this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses was standing on holy ground. God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. I've been trying to picture this in my mind, saying, God, I want to be a man that respects your holiness. I want to have the same urgency that Moses had when Moses had figured out who was talking to him. Moses saw the bush. It didn't burn up. God spoke to Moses what he said. Here I am. This ground is holy. What made the ground holy? God was there. Because God was there meeting with Moses, there was a respect. There was fear. There was awe. There was a willingness for Moses to say, hold on a second. This God is holy. Men, as we've gathered as a family, I'm concerned that we take holiness as a convenience. I think it's very easy, men, for us to say, well, if I want to be holy or if it's convenient for me, then I'll be holy. That's not what's asked of us in the church. That's not what Paul said before he addressed. He said, talks about prayer first, and then the first thing that he comes to in a church, in a family, in a congregation, whatever you want to look at it, he comes to the men first, and he says to those men, I want you to come to that assembly holy. You can lift your hands if you choose to. That's your choice. But as you gather together as a family, men, he's asking us to be set apart. He's asking us not to be polluted by the world. I was watching last night there watching a movie, Crocodile Hunter, the movie. You know what? I just don't like movies anymore. They're just They're so fake. You know what's sad? Most of us are believing lies, and we're living our life based on a choice, and the information we've been given is a lie, and we choose to live by that lie. Satan is the angel of light. He's the deceiver, men. So we've gathered this morning, and I could go on and list things for hours, but I'm not going to do that. But I know this, men, that every single one of us sitting in this room, we struggle with holiness. So as we gather together as a family, as you enter into these doors, I want to be praying for you, and I ask you to be praying for me, that God would allow me to be holy. That God would give me the courage to be holy. That when the Holy Spirit would prick my heart and say, you know what, you're polluted there, I would say, Holy Spirit, I need to ask for forgiveness of that, and I'm going to lay that at your feet. I don't want that to be part of my life. Also, I find something is very interesting. He asked these men to be holy. He asked these men to pray without anger. It's very interesting. You could target men in two areas of their lives, or their struggles: holiness, anger, are probably the two biggest. You know what sad is, men? You know where we do the most damage for generations to come? Is your anger. You see, nobody's going to step into your life and say, by the way, you're being an angry man and you're hurting your son or your daughter. Because most people don't know what goes on behind your doors. Just you. A person who is constantly having trouble with other believers, who's a troublemaker rather than a peacemaker, can't pray and get the answers from God. Men without anger. I want you to go with James chapter 1. Pick it up, verse 19. My brothers, take quick note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For as man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires. I think if there's one thing as a pastor, as a friend, obviously, I'm not going to do this. I think it'd be neat for a ministry to begin in a church of healing of men's anger. And I've had opportunities to be involved with married couples in a larger group, sitting there. And normally the first thing that I will say to the group of men that are sitting there is to ask them to forgive their parents. As I think about my own life, obviously, my father grew up in a home. I didn't know what it was like to have Levere Patterson as my father. I knew what Bob Patterson was. I didn't know what it was like to have Levere Patterson as a father. You know what I've learned is there's a huge generational spiritual growth from Bob Patterson, or from Levere Patterson to Bob Patterson. I want to continue that growth. Seth Patterson. How do I do that? Forgive my parents. How do I do that? Forgive a coach, forgive a teacher, forgive a friend, forgive a boss at work, and the list goes on and on. Men, if we're honest, here's our issue. Now I'll tell you something. There's only one person that can heal you from your anger. His name is Jesus Christ. And you know what's so neat is? As I think about the context of this passage, Paul's asking this group of believers to pray for their leaders. He wants the group of believers to meet who? Jesus Christ, the mediator. Why? Because those men need help. You know what's exciting? Paul's talking to this young man, Timothy. Who's he talking to? The men in the church, not anybody outside. He wants the guys in buildings like this to say, here it is, Jesus. Here's my anger. Let it go. It's not acceptable for us men to live in our homes and be tyrants. It's not acceptable. Well, you can say, well, I don't have an alcohol problem. I don't have a pornography problem. I don't have this problem. I don't have that problem. Stop making excuses. Just fall on your face before Jesus. Say, Jesus, if I've got an anger problem, you fix me from the inside out. If I've got a dictatorship problem, you fix me from the inside out. He also asked these men back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. I think this is hysterical. What are men known for? Arguing over the dumbest things. We could go sit over there and we could start telling old basketball stories or old soccer stories or old this, that, whatever story. Whatever the first story starts out as, somebody in that room is going to have a better story. They did it bigger than better. And there's just something inside of a man to say, you know what? I am wrong. We want to be right all the time. There's just that disputing, this argumentative spirit. I say, hey, let's just argue this till the nth degrees because I want to be right. And I'm not against parents being right. Dads, let me say this. I think there are times you need to argue and argue and argue and argue and argue so your children know that you're right. They need to learn to submit to authority. I think that's huge. Dads, if you have daughters, I would challenge you to say the word no often. Often. You know why? They're going to get married one day. And the hardest thing for that husband to say to her is no. If they learn in your home, I promise you, your son-in-law will thank you for the rest of their lives. I promise you. And I think there are times, men in our homes, that we need to stand up to our boys. I don't think we need to fight them. I don't think we need to punch them in the nose. But I think our boys need to know that we're going to do it this way. And I think we can do it without raising our voices. I think we can do it without having a big, huge confrontation. But I also think, men, there are times in our lives we need to go back to our children and say we are sorry. That we need to look our boys or our sons or our daughters and right in the eye and say, you know what? You are right. And stop arguing over something that doesn't matter. In the early church, there are broken relationships. There are things that are going on in this church that people are disputing over. I don't know what they were. And Paul's telling this young man, Timothy, as he establishes this new church, men, you don't always have to be right. By the way, men, if you choose always to be right, your prayers will be hindered. we've gathered this morning as a family. My prayer for our family, that will be full of men who have a passion for holiness. Be full of men that when God looks into their heart, they would be willing to say they are sorry. And when God pricks their heart, they would say, you know what? You're right. I'm polluted. I'm going to ask you forgiveness. And he would look into our family and see a group of men. And I don't think we'll ever get this all under control. But that anger would not be the driving force of our lives. That being right would not be the driving force of our life. And I want to thank Paul personally for challenging us men first and a family before he said anything to a woman. First Timothy chapter 2, ladies, is for you. I will not be as extensive about this part because I have no idea how your mind works. But I know God has asked some things of you and our family. I also know, as I sat across the table last Sunday at a birthday party, I got a chance to sit next to some spiritually mature women. And they said to me, I have a thought for you on this passage of Scripture, because they were reading ahead. And they shared their thought with me, and I looked at them and said, you know, there has to be some spiritual maturity in your own heart for you to utter those words. For you to say, this is what Scripture says. And this is what it says. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency, not braiding of hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But woman will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness and propriety. So in our family, ladies, Paul's encouraging you in modesty. He's encouraging you to protect the men that are around you. He's encouraging you to not put on something on the outside that makes you feel valuable. He's encouraging you to find your value on the inside. And I shared that with you in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 on Mother's Day. Women who are beautiful on the inside. Anyone can fix up the outside to look good. The inside is what matters to God. So as you come to our family, ladies, come with modesty and dress. You read in verse 11, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit women to teach in church or hold authority over a man. I want to say something here. We're not raising a group of men to be chauvinists. There is not one who is better than the other. One of the greatest gifts besides my salvation ever given to me was Susan. Susan is not a doormat in my family. I am not a dictator. I value my wife. And men, you're sitting in here and you don't value your wife, and you're a dictator, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit of God to bring you to your knees. There's never been a time in my life, in our marriage, we'll celebrate 21 years in August, that I've said to Susan, we're going to do it this way because I told you. I don't tell Susan, I tell you so. This is the way it's going to be in our home. I don't do that. Anybody that has a marriage has probably learned that early on in their relationship. Okay? So I'm not asking women to be a doormat in their families. I'm not asking that. But I think that a man that has a passion for holiness, has a passion for God, has a passion to deal with his own personal issues first, has an incredible marriage. But Paul's going to ask that women do not teach in church or hold authority over church in leadership. So you will find, as we go along in the years to come, if you attend our new membership class, you will see that our elder board is made up of men because of this passage of Scripture. It's not because we think we're better than women. It's because we're going to surrender to the authority of Scripture. Are there great women teachers? Absolutely. Do I think women should teach? I do. I think it's great for women to be involved in Bible studies. I think it's awesome. We have a small group that meets on Sunday nights. The college ministry. One of the young ladies in the college ministry is incredibly gifted. Her mind is unbelievable. She's not leading the college ministry, but it's fun to learn. It's fun just to think about what she's thinking. So she has a thought on a passage of Scripture. So we sit and talk about it. It's fun. Awesome. I do not believe that it's right for a woman to hold authority over a man. That's what Paul told me is the way it's supposed to be. And I realize, ladies, there are times in your life that you're going to have to surrender. Say, hey, you know what? That's not for me. You're going to have to set that aside. I look at this as a consequence to sin. Is it fair? No. Is it supposed to be fair? No. Was it fair for Jesus to die on the cross for your sins? No. Is it right for us to say, Jesus, what do you want for our family? Absolutely. Even if we don't like it. Even if we have to say, hey, that's not fair. We're saying we surrender. We're saying that this book is authority. We're saying that, say, you know what, Lord, if this is what you want for our family, then we're going to follow that. Take you back to the conversation I had last Sunday. Sitting next to two godly women, they said this to me. God places men in women's lives to protect them. The other lady said, that's right. After I lost a spouse, I stopped reading my Bible, and I let my guard down. And I sat there in awe because I realize in the society that we live in, men do what they want when they want. And women always want to elevate themselves over the man. Just it's interesting to me. So both of us have things, as we come to this passage of Scripture, that are going to be difficult for us to do. Impossible, really, for us men to live holy lifestyles. It's impossible. But we can say, Jesus, would you help me? Same thing for women. To step back and say, you know what? This is what Scripture says. I'm moving on. I'm not going to aspire to be an elder of a church. I'm not going to aspire to say I'm going to be teaching the Bible Fellowship Church. Right here on a Sunday morning. Here, have we had people here on Sunday morning? Yeah, Marion Laszlo. It was unbelievable. I love listening to her story. Missionary, but it was very interesting about Marion Laszlo. She went and worked with the Indians. You know what she did? She trained men to be the leaders. Very interesting. She said, you know what? I want the men of this tribe to be the leaders. So she trained them. She could have made Scripture say whatever she wanted to. They wouldn't have known. She purposed in her heart, saying, you know what, I want to train these men. The last thing that I want to share here is in verse 14, it says, or in verse 15, but women will be saved through their childbearing. I realize that there are ladies that never have children. And I really, what I think is neat is as I've listened to and read a lot of different people's thoughts on this passage of Scripture, God has given women a gift. It's called children. As I looked through different names, and I didn't write them down, of people that grew up as leaders in communities, most of those people would go back and say, it's because of my mom. Salvation is by faith through grace. But women, you have an incredible opportunity to mold and shape a life of a child. Input into their lives. Things that, as dads, we never get those chances to do. So I would encourage you women to invest in the children that you have, in the grandchildren. I would encourage you to continue on in your faith and love and holiness as you go forward. As we wrap up this morning, as I think about chapter 2, this is what I see. Paul is encouraging a family to pray. Paul's encouraging this family to take their prayers to God. Paul's encouraging this family to intercede and have a conversation with God about their issues, about their leaders, from a thankful heart. He's asking them to live peaceful, quiet lives, praying for those and for us, and asking what, you know what? He's asking that we choose Jesus as our mediator. We would say, Jesus, we choose you. He's encouraging men in this church. Holiness. Men, if we're going to deal with our holiness, we will have to deal with our anger, and we'll have to deal with us being right. Women, he would say this to you today. Modesty, value from the inside. And your children are a gift from God. An opportunity for you to invest in generations to come. As you look at this passage of Scripture, I've written down three words. Work, grow, serve. He's going to ask us to work. There's things in here for us men to work on. There's things in us in this passage of Scripture for women to work on. You know what'll be interesting? How many of you recognize that? And how many of you make a choice to ask the Holy Spirit to help you grow in these areas of your lives? Because it's really easy just to read through a passage of Scripture. It's really easy to look at 9 through 15 and say, okay, this is what the women's supposed to do. And we just drop out verse 8 and say, oh, there's nothing in there for men. There is stuff there for us, gentlemen. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to require you to grow up? Yes, it is. It's going to require you to become a man, which takes work, takes help. And my prayer is that you men would run to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I want to grow in this area of my life. I'm not just going to ask the men to grow. I want to ask you ladies to grow too. As you wrestle with authority of Scripture, as you say, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll grow. I'll be the person that you want me to be. And you know what will happen? If you grow, if you work and you grow, then you'll have opportunity to share that with other people. You'll get a chance to serve other people. You'll get a chance to minister to other people. Men will start asking you, hey, how did you do this? What about this? Women, you'll get opportunity to meet with these younger women and say, just invest in their lives. This is what really matters. It's truth. It's God's word for you today. an opportunity to you to say, you know what? I'll submit to the authority of the Word of God. I'll surrender. I'll step back and say, you know what, Jesus? This is what you want for me as a person. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you know what work you need to do in the men in our family and the women in our family. I ask that you would work. I ask, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that the men that are sitting in this room that say they love Jesus, that would say, yeah, I've asked Jesus for forgiveness, that would say that they're a Christ follower, that you would make holiness a priority in their lives. Father, I ask for the men in this room that have anger issues, Holy Spirit, you would do a work in their lives. You would set them free. Father, as you look down on the women in our family, I just pray, Holy Spirit, please help us leave a legacy of the men in our family. We care for the women, that we take care of those that are here, not just our wives, but just the ladies in general, the widows. But Father, I pray for the ladies today. In a society that's totally contrary to the Word of God, may they choose to submit to you. And Father, as I say thank you for allowing me to sit next to those women at a birthday party that are spiritually mature, I pray you would raise generations of spiritually mature women in this family, spiritually mature men in this family, knowing that it's not going to be easy, knowing that we'll probably be laughed at, we'll be mocked, be ridiculed, that we will be called old school, boring, but that our passion, Jesus, would be to honor you, that our passion would be surrendered to the authority of the Word of God. Father, thank you for truth. Thank you for willingness to be able to speak it to us, even though at times we don't like to hear it. But may we surrender to your truth. May we be obedient to the Word of God. May there be believers, Christ followers in this family that would work, grow, and serve because they love you. If you're here this morning and you'd like to pray with somebody, we have the What's Next Ministry out back, the second door on the left. We'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to open the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, that the Word of God is confrontational, that it isn't what we always want, but it's what we need for life. May we always surrender to the truth of the Word of God over what we think is best. Your name I pray. Amen.